Victory. That's an interesting word, victory. Who do you recognize or remember maybe of someone who has used that word, victory? Anybody got an idea?
Churchill.
Hey! Boy, oh boy, are we on the same page. Look at that. Here we go. Winston Churchill, the very famous victory sign, right? And he quoted and he said, "Victory at all costs, victory in spite of all terror, victory however long and hard the road may be." That was his statement that he used to encourage the troops before the Battle of Britain. And of course, the result was victory. But he mentioned three or four very key elements of what victory costs. It's not just something you turn by a switch and hope for. That there is a cost associated with victory. That it takes time. Sometimes it is hard. And sometimes it's frightening. Through his sacrifice, which we've mentioned, interestingly enough, quite often already today on the cross, victory came for us at the cost of Jesus Christ. Victory at all costs. Victory at the cost of Jesus' innocent life. Jesus was victorious on our behalf. And I'm going to cover two or three elements of what this victory has given us. And that part of that victory is for us as well to continue. But this victory, well, one of the ones to start off with was having received Christ in your life. Thanks to his victory on the cross, we have the ability to have victory over temptation. That sounds interesting. We have the ability to have victory over temptation. And it's always in front of us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writes, "No temptation has overtaken you. No temptation has overtaken any of us except what is common to mankind. It's all around us. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." Unfortunately, a lot of people get to that part of the scripture and they say, "Okay, that's it. Nothing's going to come to me that I can't handle." No, what God says, what Paul says when he writes, he says, "When you are tempted," it's going to happen, okay? "He will provide a way out so that you can endure it." He didn't say it's going to be easy. He didn't say it's going to be a temptation that is sort of some minor little thing that you can just turn your back on or pray over and say, "God, help me through this serious time." No, he's saying that he will provide a way out no matter how severe it is. And some of you probably have heard even my son say this is how he got through a very, very serious time in his life. God provided a way out. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, Paul writes to the Philippians, "I can do all this through him who does what? Who gives me strength." We go to Christ for strength because on the cross he shed his blood so we can go to him and say, "Jesus, give me strength through this temptation." You see, overcoming requires faith. It means we focus on God and not on our weaknesses. It means that we are persistent, that we don't give in, we don't give up. We put our eyes on our Savior, not on ourselves. But that's so easy to do, isn't it? That's so easy to do. You see, part of this long, hard road, as Churchill said, part of this long, hard road is a road of faith. And sometimes when we fall, we have Christ's sacrifice and God's grace that allows us to get up and keep on going. And that is part of the victory. That is part of the victory. There's another victory that comes across that we have been given strength to get through. And that's the victory over being afraid. The victory over fear. All of us have fears. Let's be honest with each other. There are things that we fear daily. There are things that we fear regarding our family. We have fears about ourselves. We have prayed today because we fear what's going to be happening south of the border next week. We have no idea. But let's be honest, we're afraid. I'm afraid for, I have a daughter and family and grandchildren who live in Arizona. I just don't want anything terrible to happen there. But look at what else is happening around the world. There is fear. But thanks to Jesus Christ's victory, he says to us, don't be afraid. He says, I'm giving you peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Why? Why can we say, oh, I'm not going to be afraid? Also mentioned in the prayer today. The reason that we aren't to be afraid is because it's not up to us. We're not the ones in control. The one who is in control is the sovereign Lord. Sovereign Lord means he's in total control of what is happening. We may not see the reasons behind it sometimes, but he is in total control. Sovereign Lord, Adonai Yahweh. That's what that means. Do you know that expression, Sovereign Lord, appears just in the Bible, almost 290 times. Sovereign Lord, he is in charge of everything. One of the best stories, or not stories, one of the best things that happened in the past that shows the Sovereign Lord in action and how it was responded to was when Hezekiah said a prayer. It's in Daniel chapter 4, 34 to 35. At the end of that time, Hezekiah, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. And then I praised. Here was this guy who was definitely against God. And I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And then he says this. His dominion is the eternal dominion. He realized that the sovereign Lord was in charge. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? He gave all the praise to the sovereign Lord. What he did is he finally surrendered and he rested in Christ's victory. Nebuchadnezzar hadn't at that time, but we can. We can surrender and rest in the victory that Christ has had for us. Not out of fear, knowing that the sovereign Lord is in control, that we can rest in him and that we can be led by him. Oh, there's one other victory that he has, and we all count on it, every one of us. also mentioned today. In Isaiah 25, it's called the victory over death. He says, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken. What's the promise that we can count on? It's given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When the perishable, that's us, have been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us, it's a gift. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that victory? It's the victory that we can be absolutely assured that we will be resurrected and we will become immortal, we will become imperishable, and we will be with Christ. There's one other victory that we can count on thanks to Christ's being on the cross. And that's and I know this sounds crazy in some way, but it's a victory that whatever happens to us, no matter how difficult a trial, no matter how troubled times might be, whether it's family issues, health issues, finances, relationships, that he will be with us through them all. In Isaiah 40, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. This is that long and hard road, but the victory that Christ had on the cross gives us the confidence that he will be with us regardless of the troubles we endure. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. It's not a promise of no hardship, but a promise of Jesus being at our side and getting us through whatever suffering or hardship we must endure. I know that might sound a little bit like the very first victory that I mentioned. That first victory of resisting temptation, or the victory over fear. But this is a victory that we get regardless, because when that trial is over, and they do come to an end, the joy that comes is unbelievable. It is a joy that we receive and ensures and affirms who Christ is and what he has done for us. So there's three things, though, when we go through this victory that Christ achieved on the cross. There are three things that we can count on. The first one is the sovereign Lord. He is in control. Our faith and our belief should recognize that he is the sovereign Lord. The second thing that we can count on is grace. Grace for our salvation, because we can't earn it. But we know that regardless of what happens in our lives, as long as we have received Christ and the Spirit is in us, then he has made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, even when we fall down to temptation from time to time, it is by grace that we are saved. And then the third part is that we live committed to God's glory and his true purpose for us. That's why we are to live. That is the purpose. We talked about his great creation last week, but the whole part is he created for a purpose. He created us for a purpose. I'll just read this. It says, "For Christ's love compels us, encourages us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." He, Christ, died for all. "And he died for all that those who should live should no longer live for themselves." We're not to live for ourselves to try and get ourselves safely to the grave. No, we live for him. We live for him and for them and was raised again. We live for Christ who died for them and was raised again. I should have said that correctly. That's who we live for. We live for his glory. That's hard, isn't it? When we take, here's the sovereign Lord who is gracious enough to give us eternal life and who has saved us, not for what we do, but out of his victory on the cross. Our response is we live for him. In Romans 11:36, "For from him," from Jesus Christ, "and through him and for him are all things." It's all for him. And I know when we look around the world around us and we see the destruction and the pain and the injustice and the suffering and the violence, that's not the world Christ came to. He came to save us from that. This is not the world he wants. This is the world Satan has allowed, or Christ has shown us through the consequences of being disobedient and of not praising him and of not living for him and not obeying, as Frank read, that there is one God and we are to love him and we are to love our neighbor. And by doing so, we live for him. For him, through him, and for him. And to him be the glory. We live through him for his glory, not our glory. And here's the nice part. Here's the really good part. All who are victorious, in Revelation 21, verse 7, all who are victorious will inherit all these blessings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. What a tremendous future that we can look forward to. No, we're already his children. It's the victory part. Victory that when we are afraid, victory when we are tempted, victory when we are going through trials, that we are to be reminded that it is through Jesus Christ's victory that his death on the cross paid the penalty for us so we could live. That is real victory. So if we went back to Churchill's statement, victory at all costs, the victory that we enjoy, it was at the cost of Jesus Christ. Let me just end this with a prayer. Father, great God, we pray that no circumstances, however bitter or however long drawn out, may cause us to break your law, the law of love to you and loving our neighbor, that we may not become resentful, that we do not have hurt feelings, that we do not hate or become embittered by life's experiences, but that in and through all we may see your guiding hand, and that we have a heart of gratitude for your daily mercy, your daily love, your daily power, and daily presence. Help us in the day when we need it most to remember that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That each of us can do all this through God and through Jesus Christ who gives us strength. And let us be reminded that God is a God of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.